Turn with me now to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it the people of old received their commendation. By faith we understand that the universe was created by the Word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. This ends the reading of God's Word. And again, may He bless it that we would be more than merely hearers, but we would know how we are to live on the basis of the Word of God. Well, if you were here last week in our passage, we were encouraged by the fact that our forgiveness through the blood of Jesus enables us to draw near to God, to hold on to the hope that we have been given, and to confess or to continue encouraging one another. And even as the writer says, all the more as we see the day approaching. In other words, we end by acknowledging that we are trusting in that which is to come. That there is a day coming that God has promised us. And we by faith are looking forward to that final and great day. And we end by acknowledging that to live the Christian life in such a way, with such commitment, requires genuine faith. We must have true faith if we're going to be able to draw near to God. We must have true faith if we're going to be able to hold on, to persevere in the hope that we've been given. We must have genuine faith if we are truly going to be an encouragement to one another. And so I ended the sermon with a simple leading question. What is faith? Well, in our world today, the word faith is used in very broad ways, and yet it pretty much has the common denominator of trust. We're talking about having faith in our spouse or faith in our company or faith in ourselves or even faith in the weather forecast. We pretty much mean trust. Webster's dictionary gets it partially right when it says that faith is belief and trust in and loyalty to God. And that's pretty good. But the second definition, maybe it was the third definition, it gets a little bit off track. It reads that faith is a firm belief in something for which there is no proof. No proof? Yes, there is proof. Is there no proof that God exists or that He keeps His promises? We know. Genuine biblical faith is based upon truth, upon evidence. It's not blind, but there's facts, there's proof, there's truth and evidence of the existence of God and His faithfulness. Some describe faith today as merely a feeling, like the old sentiment in the old wonderful musical Oklahoma. Oh, what a beautiful morning. Oh, what a wonderful day. I can't think how it goes. I've got a wonderful feeling. Things are going my way. Faith isn't based on feelings. You know that good feelings come and go so easily. If your faith is based upon good feelings, that has a potential to lead you to doubt. No, our faith is not based on our feelings only. Certainly it affects our feelings, no doubt. But it's not based upon feelings. Our genuine biblical faith has a stronger foundation than that. Others consider faith to be trusting in something that's irrational or illogical. You'll hear things like, it might not make sense, but you just got to hold on. You just got to believe that everything's going to work out. You have faith in faith, basically. It's illogical, it's irrational, but you just got to hold on. But genuine biblical faith, again, is based upon truth, rock-solid evidence that impacts our life. And so today, as we start looking at Hebrews 11, we'll see what the Bible means by genuine faith. We'll also see that genuine faith does have an impact on our life, and we'll also see an example of how we demonstrate faith. You know, usually when you hear people talk about Hebrews 11, they'll call it the Great Hall of Faith. And all the examples of the men and women of old that demonstrated by faith, and it does that. But it starts with you. It starts with us, how we demonstrate this faith. And then he goes on to say, Abel did this, Moses did that, Abraham did this, Noah did this. But it starts with us, how we demonstrate. And so that's how we'll conclude today, with how we can demonstrate genuine faith as well. And Lord willing, throughout the rest, today through the rest of the holidays, probably we'll look at all the various examples of the saints of old and how they lived by faith. So first, what does it mean to have faith in God? Well, look again at verse 1. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Here, the writer is using a poetical style of the Hebrews in which he has two parallel, almost identical statements. The first statement gives us a simple description of faith, and then the second drives it deeper into life. So faith is the assurance of things hoped for. In other words, faith is the instrument that God has given us to give us assurance or confidence in His promises, in Him Himself. Through His Word, God has given us promises about our future, about our life. Things that He will do for us because Jesus is our great high priest. Through the blood of Jesus. Through the blood of Jesus, we can draw near. That's a promise from God. We can draw near to Him through the blood of Jesus. Through the blood of Jesus, we can hold on. We can persevere through the trials and troubles of this life because He is our high priest. Through the blood of Jesus, we can enjoy the fellowship and the worship of God's people together. We share life together. We're connected as family through the blood of Jesus. These are promises that God has given to us. And through the blood of Jesus, we have the confidence that when He returns, not as Savior, but as Judge, on that great and last day, we have confidence that we have a mediator that stands between us and the Father, the very Son of God, through His blood has accepted us as His own and will receive us into His heaven by faith. We have assurance. We have confidence in God and in His promises. And that assurance leads us to the conviction of things that are not seen. This also translated as the evidence of things not seen. In other words, faith is the proof of the invisible. It's the proof, the evidence of what we can't see physically. You know, one of my favorite people in the Bible is the disciple Thomas. Sadly, Thomas has been dubbed by many as Doubting Thomas because he did not believe the other disciples when they told him they had seen the risen Lord. And you remember his reaction. He said, unless I see the nail prints in His hand, unless I can reach out my hand and touch those nail prints and reach out my hand and touch His side, I will not believe. Thomas wanted to see before he would believe, and Jesus rebuked him for that weak faith. But Thomas made one of the strongest statements or declarations of faith in all of Scripture. Because when Jesus appeared and Thomas was present, how does Thomas respond? There is no evidence that Thomas needed to touch Him, to touch those nail prints. There's no proof that he did that. He declares, my Lord and my God. One of the statements in all of God's Word to the deity of Jesus Christ. But as I said, sadly, Thomas is known because of his moments of doubt. But what we forget is that he's no different than all the other disciples. None of them believed when the ladies first came to them and told them that He had risen from the dead and they talked to Him. None of them believed. They all had to see it for themselves. Why? Because it was too good to be true. It was just too good to be true. And yet, for days, probably for weeks, Jesus had been teaching them this very thing. I will rise again. But when He actually rose from the dead, was too good to be true. You know, personally, and I'm sure you can as well, you can relate to Thomas and the other disciples. Dead people don't rise from the dead. It's too good to be true. But weak faith we often have. We know His promises. We've heard them. We're familiar with them. But sometimes they seem just too good to be true. The Apostle Peter wrote that God has given us precious and very great promises. They may seem to us many times to be too good to be true, but that is where faith comes in. You know, I can't even begin to describe how encouraging it has been to me to see such faith in many of you. Many of you have lost your husband or wife or your father or mother or son or daughter. And yet here you are week after week singing praises to God, rejoicing in His goodness. You can't imagine how encouraging. Maybe you can because you've been encouraged as well by the same thing. It is such a blessing to see such faith in the midst of such pain. In some, it has been indescribable pain that you've experienced. But you walk by faith, not by sight. You keep moving. You keep going. You have been such a testimony to me and to others. Keep walking. He is with you in the valley of the shadow of death so that you fear no evil. Faith is the confidence in the unseen, conviction in the promises of God that enable us to keep going. And that leads to the second question. It begins to answer the second question. What will true faith accomplish in my life? Well, in verse 2, we read, "For by it," by faith, "the people of old received their commendation." So many times I've read this, I want to say condemnation. That's not what they received. They received their commendation. Literally, it means that they were testified about. In other words, someone bore testimony that they were people of faith. In fact, I like the way the Old King James translates it. They received a good report. But that begs the question, who gave the report? Who's the report from? Well, we'll come to this, in Lord willing, in the later in chapter 11. We'll come back also, reflect back on Genesis chapter 15, where it says that Abraham believed the Lord, and the Lord counted it to him as righteousness. God testifies. God declares that you are righteous because you put in Him. The just shall live by faith. You are declared right by God by faith in Him. This is where God commends or approves those who had gone on before and lived by faith. Now, some days it may not seem like it to us, but our reward will come, just as it did for them. And that's one of the points that the writer's making in Hebrews. They received their reward, so will you. Don't quit. Keep walking in faith. Our reward will come. The people of old lived in, the examples that we will have, they lived in different times from one another, had different struggles from one another, but they had one thing in common. They lived by faith. They trusted in God's promises. Their approval, the approval of God, did not come because of their wealth or accomplishments or strength or beauty or popularity. The world approves of wealth and fame and beauty and power. But God gives His approval to those who walk by faith. When our children were little, like most children, they thought that we loved them when they were good and obedient children. And they questioned our love when they were bad and disobedient. Now they know better. Now they know that Wendy and I love them now as well as back then, not on the basis of their actions, but simply because God gave them to us. They belong to us. They were ours. They were a gift from God to us. We loved them regardless of their actions. And in a similar way, but obviously far better, God has chosen to love you. And He bought you by the blood of His own Son. His love for you, His promises to you, are not based on your good works, are not based on your pleasant behavior, and they're not withheld from you because of your sinful behavior. He loves you. He has made promises to you that are based upon His ability to keep them, not ours. When we trust God, when we place our faith in God, then we can act in faith. And He commends us or places His approval upon us as a testimony to others of His faithfulness. And that leads us to the last question. How can we demonstrate true faith in our world? What is a practical example of how we can live by faith? Well, He gives us this in verse 3. He says, by faith we understand. Now, He's going to say, by faith Abel did this, and Abraham did that, and by faith Moses did this, but He starts with us. By faith we understand that the universe was created by the Word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. So by faith, we understand that God created the world. But by the way, and we could go a lot farther into this, but that does not mean that there's an absence of physical proof of creation by God. That's not what it means. Faith is not blind. However, to believe that there is a God who created all things out of nothing in the space of 6 days requires a new heart. It requires faith. I mean, after all, it's impossible for us to go back in time and see what God had created or how He created it. We cannot see what He used, nothing. We can't understand what nothing could possibly look like and therefore create all things out of nothing. We cannot go back. And even if we could, our hearts are still dead without faith. And we would not believe in Him. That's the point of Romans 1. One of the points is God has made Himself known, and we suppress that truth by our wickedness. By faith, we believe, we understand that God created the world. That's a statement of faith based upon God's revelation to man and the evidence that He has provided that this is the work that He has done. I thought about turning back to Genesis and reading the biblical account of creation at this point, but rather, I really love the way the psalmist summarizes God's creative work in Psalm 33. In verse 6 and following, we read, by the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, and by the breath of His mouth, all their hosts. He gathers the waters of the sea as a heap. He puts the deep in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of Him. For He spoke and it came into being. He commanded and it stood firm. After the psalmist praises God for this clear demonstration of His power through creation, the psalmist then goes on for several verses to rejoice in God's sovereignty over what He has made, that He continues to reign and rule over everything that He has made. And he ends with this wonderful statement of faith in verse 20. He says, our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help. He is our shield, for our heart is glad in Him because we trust in His holy name. Steadfast love, O Lord, be upon us, even as we hope in You. We live by faith, and we have seen your power. Where our hope is in you, because we have seen your sovereign hand over all things. That is how our faith can be demonstrated in our world. Believing in creation versus evolution or any other theory of how things came into being has a direct impact on your life and how you react to the events that take place in your life. Because we believe that God has the power to create all things out of nothing, because we believe that God has the power and the love to all things, to His perfect plan, our soul can wait for Him. He is our help. He is our shield. He makes us glad. He is holy, and therefore He can be trusted. He loves us, and He has given us hope. We put all our confidence in Him because He loves us, and He's all-powerful. I mean, how terrifying would it be if the Bible only revealed that God is all-powerful and holy, but He's not loving? That's the God of Islam. He's an arbitrary God who is holy, 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 but He doesn't care how you lived. He could send you to hell if He wanted. That's not our God. The Bible does not reveal a God who is all-powerful and holy beyond your wildest imagination without being loving. It also reveals His love. How horrific would it be if the Bible only revealed God's justice without His mercy? How horrible would we be if all that we did was wield our power and justice without compassion, without loving kindness? No, by faith, we understand that God is all-powerful. By faith, we understand that He created all things out of nothing by speaking it into existence. By faith, we understand that God is in control of everything that we see in this world. No one can spoil God's plan for mankind. And if we truly believe that God created the universe, then why do we so easily struggle to believe that God can supply our needs, whether it be for food or a job, friendships, or any other need? It doesn't make much sense, does it, to doubt God when He has clearly demonstrated such power? But even more so when we remember the depth of His love for you. How can we begin to doubt that God would care for us when He loved us so much that He sent His own Son to die in our place? The Gideons, I really truly enjoy and blessed by the ministry of the Gideons several times a year, a couple of them, different ones sometimes, but they'll stop by the office just to be able to pray with Tim and myself, just to encourage us. It's a wonderful ministry that the Gideons have, obviously throughout the years, and placing Bibles in various places. I still remember, I still have it at home, the Gideon's Bible that I received in the fourth grade at Westview Elementary School. I'm just that sentimental of a person that I keep things like that. Wonderful ministry. Well, they tell the story of a young girl from Columbia, not Missouri, the nation of Columbia. I think this story demonstrates the power of God in a beautiful way to grant faith and to keep His promises. This young girl was given a Gideon Bible, a New Testament, just like the ones that many of us have been given as well. In fact, I grabbed one out of my office, one maybe a lot like this Gideon's Bible, just a little New Testament with the Psalms and Proverbs that she was given. Sadly, however, she didn't have the same kind of father that I had, that I was blessed to grow up with. She was reading her Bible, and her dad saw it. And he grabbed that Bible, and the first time he saw it, he told her, "You're not allowed to read that Bible, that book. It is filled with fantasies and lies." But she didn't stop reading. Behind her father's back, mind you. Well, he discovered it one day. He saw her reading the Bible, and he grabbed it out of her hands, and he put it in his pocket. He took it with him and went to work. He was an engineer in a local mine. Well, that day the sirens went off, the cave had collapsed. And 31 men were trapped, her father included, in that mine, in that shaft. It took rescue workers 5 days before they finally got to the men. All 31 had perished. They found that man with the Bible clutched in his hands. Written in that Bible was this note: "To my daughter, keep reading this New Testament. It is true and right, and I will see you one day in heaven." But that's not all. The back of the Bible, and every Gideon's Bible, at least the ones they hand out like this, the New Testaments, there's a commitment card in the back that you can sign after you receive Christ. He signed that, a commitment card. But that's not all. On another page in the back, there were 30 other signatures of all those men in that cave as a result of that little girl's obedience and faithfulness to read the Word of God. Friday, as I was wrapping up working on my sermon, at least the first draft of it, I was sitting there enjoying my second, maybe third cup of coffee that you blessed me with at Starbucks. And I was sitting there thinking, how can I illustrate in a personal way what faith looks like? And I thought about the old illustration I've used so many times. I love the illustration of the chair, but I've used it half dozen times probably. And I thought, what else can I use? I think the Lord kind of basically said, okay, I'm going to make this really personal for you. Within an hour, we got a phone call about Wendy's niece that passed away. And it was just as if to say the Lord was saying, all right, Jim, here, you put this into practice before you preach it. How strong is your faith? This 35-year-old girl diagnosed with Hodgkin's lymphoma when she was only 20. Struggled for all those years, finally being declared cancer-free after, I don't know, maybe 10 years of struggle, something like that. But the doctor told her at the time, you're cancer-free, but the way that the treatments have ravaged your body, you've got the organs of an 80-year-old. Finally, her lungs giving out, being approved for a lung transplant a couple weeks ago, going through the delicate, dangerous surgery, but the only way to preserve her life. And it looked as though it was going to work. Left lung was working. And then she was taken into the presence of her God, joyfully singing praises to her Savior. How do we know that? God's Word. He assures us. He gives us the confidence. He will not allow his child to perish. He will not allow you to fall again into condemnation because he loves you too much. His promises are not based on you or me, on our good behavior. They're based upon him, on his power to keep you, his power to bring you into his presence. We walk by faith, not by sight. We have the assurance of things we hope for. We have the conviction of things not seen. And by faith, he puts his stamp of approval on his children. We know, we understand the power of God. We understand his control over all things. And we know that he is loving. We know that he is good. Walk by faith. Place your faith in him. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, forgive us if we have sought the approval of man, when you have so clearly proven your goodness
and your power. Forgive us when we have been so hungry for this world that we have not trusted in your word. And, oh Father, especially, be with those today that are currently walking through the valley of death, where the grief seems absolutely debilitating. Oh Lord, please demonstrate once again your power and your goodness to strengthen those feeble bodies. Grant us, O Lord, the faith to trust you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.